We've been hearing the cellist, Sungwon Young, who is with me, and we're going to spend some time with him. He's joined on this recording by Chu Moon, the pianist, the two of them doing the Rachmaninoff vocalise. And it's a two-CD set of Rachmaninoff and Chopin, about as romantic as it can get, huh?
Yep, exactly.
well, welcome very much to Spokane,
Sungwon
Young, to play with the Gonzaga Orchestra tonight. The Dvorak Cello Concerto, but inevitably we go way back, and we go back to both Korea and Paris, I think, just to kind of figure out things. And we've heard some of it before, but what is the civilization in Korea, growing up as a kid in Korea, by which there's so much great string playing?
Well, yes, there's so much great string playing, but before that there's so much music, first of all, to start with. In Korea, traditionally, we have a very, very deep-rooted Korean traditional music, mm-hmm. with much singing and great lyrical lines in the Korean traditional music. I grew up in Korea under a father who was a professional violinist, but who also loved listening to Korean traditional music, you know. But not only Korean traditional music has a lot of lyrical lines and all kinds of different instruments, but the American missionaries built many churches at the turn of the 20th century. Even before that, I would say even the latter part of the 19th century. And through the churches, Koreans were able to hear some of the Bach cantatas in oratorios and the church music, you know, of Handel, some of the Handel oratorios, etc. And that became really the foundation and the basic of Western music in Korea, you know. So, needless to say, it's a superb foundation for the Western music to be integrated in the Korean society.
Sure.
So, you know, after the Second World War, after our liberation from Japanese occupation, we have had also the Korean War, which was a big tragedy. Mm-hmm. And through those tragedies, of course, people got much healing through the music, all kinds of music, which Western music played a big part in the Korean history. Yeah.
Nice. And so it sounds like the two musics live together well.
Oh yeah, very well. Yes, definitely. Yeah.
As opposed to maybe some other musics that don't, but it sounds like they really do. So there you were with a professional violinist for a father, and was a cello just kind of something that was around the house or that you naturally did?
Oh yeah. Around my house, we always had music. You know, either my father was playing, rehearsing with his friends and colleagues, and or he was listening to Western music or traditional music, and my older brother was also violinist, and my other siblings were playing one instrument or the other. And you don't have to be a musician to have music around. Mm-hmm. You can sing, you know. There are families who sing in the house, you know. Way before the machines of karaoke came into our households, people were singing, so, you know. But I think that tradition is something that we should continue, especially at the approach of the Christmas season. I think our families should get together and sing more, you know. I don't think people need piano, you know. I don't think they need karaoke accompaniment machines, you know. They can just sit down and around a nice dinner table and start singing. There's something warmer atmosphere of the house, and then, you know. Yeah.
So are you able to do that with your family?
Oh, yes.
And so after the lovely background that you've already described, when it was time to go away from Korea, was Paris a pretty logical choice?
Pretty logical? Well, I guess so, because my father is the one who inaugurated the Korean Cultural Center in Paris.
Oh.
And he was the first director of the Korean Cultural Center in Paris, because he had been a student at the Paris Conservatory in the 50s, you know. And in the 50s and 60s, he was also very interested in philosophy, and so he was also a student at the Sorbonne for philosophy degree. So it was logical for him, but for 11-year-old boy, no, it was not logical for all of a sudden my parents deciding that we'll go and live in Paris. And I'm like, what the hell, you know, I want to stay with my friends here.
Did you know any friends at the time?
Oh, no. Yeah. But, you know, when you're at 11, you go and you go to school and you're kind of thrown into a pool and you eventually learn to swim exactly like, you know. Mm. So learning a language, I never felt any difficulties, except that growing in Paris was, needless to say, a fantastic blessing because so much culture, and especially because my father was inaugurating many exhibits, he was launching many concert series, etc., at his cultural center. So we were exposed to at least 3 or 4 cultural events a week, you know. So oftentimes, after my studies, after my classes at the Paris Conservatory, I would go to his office and attend to some of those events and go home with him, you know. So it was a fantastic experience to actually witness the merging of Korean culture in Paris, and then French people getting interested in Korean music, and yet I was a student at the Paris Conservatory back then, you know. So superbly interesting life, and then, yeah, very grateful for that, you know, to my parents.
And I presume that since all this influence from your father, then you were living in that broad world of thought and philosophy and much more than merely music or simply music.
Well, you know, growing up in Paris, I was, to be quite flat out honest, I was more interested in enjoying school life, you know, enjoying school life was also
well, they're good
not,
at that
not
in Paris,
only
aren't
practicing,
they?
Yes, not only practicing. Yeah. So, and yet, you know, you cannot avoid, you cannot escape from the richness of the cultural life in Paris. So while you're growing up, you're not quite realizing how lucky you are until you actually look back and realize how much all that has influenced your being, you know. So it was a superbly enriching experience to be living in Paris, yes. Mm. Yes.
When I was in high school, I was lucky enough to hear Janos Starker give his famous rap, his famous I Hate to Practice rap. Yeah. And it influenced me so much, and it sounds like that would have been really right then for you to go on to Starker from there. And so talk about his worldview.
Exactly. So after my graduation in Paris Conservatory, I came to the United States to study with Janos Starker, the legendary great of 20th century cello playing. The late Janos Starker, because he passed away last year. And, you know, I began playing cello at the age of 7. And my very first recital I have ever heard was by Janos Starker playing in Seoul. And I still vividly remember the absolute pure sound that he created. Wow. You know, all the cello sound that I had heard was the past few weeks that I was creating. So, of course, the sound of Janos Starker on stage was just like so beautiful, so stunningly pure and so stunningly lyrical, you know, so that really stirred my soul so deeply. And even nowadays, recalling that exact moment when I saw Janos Starker performing, I still vividly remember his posture, his looks, and his sound, and what kind of effect it did, you know, in me. And after that, discovering him as my teacher was a very, very, at the same time, frightening experience, as well as exciting and inspiring experience, because playing for him some of the immortal pieces, such as the Dvorak Concerto, which I am performing tonight, was definitely a stepping stone in my growth, you know, in my so-called blossoming, you know. So, and studying at Indiana University was very different from growing up in Paris, in a way that many people back then, from graduating at the Paris Conservatory, came to Indiana University to study with the greats that were teaching there, Joseph Gingold, Yuri Shebok, Manheim Pressler, etc., etc., Jano Starker, of course. And it was really the right direction at the right moment and the right path that I was able to take. Mm-hmm.
And then he was famous for a very analytical approach, wasn't he? A very efficient way to actually deal with the mechanics of cello playing?
Yes, exactly. He was very analytical about the physical aspect, the physical relationship with the cello, which I've learned a great deal, which is very basic foundation of my cello playing, obviously. However, he never forgot to keep the link between the spirituality of each piece. So, in other words, the liberation of the physical tension, or to learn to deal better the physical tension, was to serve the spiritual spirit of each composer and of each pieces that we were due to perform. You know, no other reasons, you know. Cello playing was enhancing our musicality, you know. So to learn to play cello better was actually meant to serve the music better, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'm spending time with Sungwon Young, who's playing the Dvorak Cello Concerto for Gonzaga Symphony tonight at 7:30 at the Fox. And not your only great piece, but it's such a pinnacle piece, the Dvorak. So how do you spend a lifetime with that concerto as such a special piece?
Yeah, it is a special piece. You know what I always say with this immortal masterpieces? It was created because these composers were pursuing an ideal, you know. And for me, an ideal has never an end to it. As a perfection has an end to it. When it's perfected, that's it, you know. But to pursue to an ideal, you can always go up, always find new shades of colors, always find new timings of the phrasing, etc. So it's an ever-learning process with these pieces, you know, the Beethoven sonatas, the Bach suites, etc., etc.
Yeah, you tell us are really lucky to have these pieces.
Yeah. Not only us, but I think generally the music lovers, everybody, you know. Well, for me, when I listen to great concertos written for other instruments, I'm just simply blessed to be able to understand those pieces. And these pieces are there to lift us up all together, you know, because they reach certain height of an idealism, you know, a certain level of ideal, artistic ideal point that just looking up towards them, just working so that we approach that idea, lift us up really to a much higher level of life, really.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The cello seems to be really in good condition right now. There's so many great and interesting cellists doing so many interesting things. And you've been pretty involved in some new music for cello and things like that, haven't you? So talk a little bit about the world the cellist inhabits in 2014.
2014, we have a great number of wonderful cellists, you know. However, the number of exceptional cellists is just as rare as early 20th century.
Sure.
Wonderful cellist means that you can hear many more cellists playing at a very high level, the Bach, the Beethoven, the Dvorak, the Kodály, etc. However, those who really can convey the music and who can touch you and to a point where you can almost be changing certain pattern of your life, to me, that's the power of artistic power, you know, so. And those artists are as rare as ever was, you know. So our challenge is constantly be devoted with that certain spirituality that is absolutely giving us the privilege of having this profession which doesn't seem like our profession, you know. So every note means something, and we're discovering that every note, as we work on them, is what I call crystallizing, you know. As one layer gets off, it becomes even clearer and purer as the years go by, you know. So 2014, yes, it's near the end. So 2015 mm-hmm. is already tomorrow, nearly. Mm-hmm. And I think we're greatly blessed with music making, and I wish that our children, like all adults, spend a little bit more time with their own instruments or even their voices so that we have more contact with our inner senses, you know. For me, that's, I have two children myself, and when I see them looking at the music with their sight and trying to recreate with their ears through their tactile sensation, there's something very wonderful. They're in touch with their inner side, which is very encouraging. Yes.
Wonderful advice from Sungwan Yang, who plays the Dvorak Cello Concerto tonight, the 7:30 concert, and it's the second half of the concert with the Gonzaga Symphony at the Fox. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. And wonderful to be here.